that again. Sorry. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. That will be 482, which you don't have a hymnal, so.
So, look at the screen, yeah.
Faith is a victory. The foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our sunshine's shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I appreciate Brother Dan and Mr. White agreeing. I asked them to let's change things up a little bit. Brother Dan usually does Sunday school. He does song leading Wednesday nights. He usually does song leading on Wednesday nights. And I said, let's get some people back in here who do some of our different song leading and things like that. And then I said, our piano players, we're going to lose Joy pretty quick. And we're working on piano players. And Mr. White says, I think I can do the piano. I'm like, let's do it. Let's make this thing happen. And the people who didn't watch tonight, we're going to miss out on Brother Dan. And so Brother Dan Roach works with the homeless ministry. And He works with Cowlitz County Correctional, Junior Correctional. As I said, Junior Correctional, is that what it's called? Okay, and then just kind of helps everybody in the church. And just every time someone needs help, there's Brother Dan there. And I got to thinking for a while, well, is it that Brother Dan's always there helping everybody in church, or every time Brother Dan's there, people need help? I'm not sure, but I appreciate him so much, and so he got here, ran right in, started doing the song leading, and I'm very thankful for them to be able to do that. All right, who we got here? Kurt Robertson joined us again. Good to see you, Brother Kurt, and he's the Mazda guy. If you have a Mazda rotary engine, there's nobody in America that knows Mazdas like Brother Kurt Robertson. And see, Rebecca Gottschalk is here. Rebecca Gottschalk Trice. I'm like, that's her maiden name. Has something happened? Noah is here. Noah Beltrand is here. And Brother Chris Luce, and he made a comment. And that's wonderful. So it's good to see you guys. Anyways, I want to do a couple quick announcements for you, if I could. Welcome to Skyview Baptist Church on a Sunday evening service. Thrilled to have you. This next Sunday, we're going to do our first parking lot service. And I'm not sure exactly how it's going to look. I know this. There's a couple things you can count on. One, we're going to keep it a little bit shorter because bathrooms are like emergency use only. That's a big deal as far as trying to keep everybody safe in this COVID environment and so on and so forth. So it's going to be a half-hour service from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, and we're working on what we can do for a special. And that'll be pretty interesting to see what we can pull off. And it's hard to get people to be able to practice together when you can't be in the same room or you have to be across the parking lot from each other, whatever. And so we'll figure out what we're going to do. And is there any chance that I know there's a family that does stringed instruments. Is there any chance I might get that family out there, all the Elisha, Isaac, and Rebecca family? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. We'll work something out. Or maybe get Lizzie and Joy out there, get them singing, get a combination of something. We'll figure it all out. And if all else fails, we'll have Brother Myers sing a special. And those who don't make it will never know what Brother Myers sounds like singing a special. Speaking of Brother Myers, Friday was Brother Myers' birthday. And I hate to say this. You're younger than me, aren't you? Yeah, he's younger than me. And so... I'm not going to ask him what birthday it is. One thing we appreciate about each other is we get it. I forget everything. He forgets things and names, numbers, things like that. And a lot of times we look at each other and say, well, why don't you remind me of this? Why don't you remind me of that? And we kind of laugh about it. But when he says, I can't remember that person's name, I'm like, oh, someone who gets me. And so we want to wish him a happy birthday. We sang happy birthday to him this morning. And the whole church, everybody on Facebook got to share his piece of birthday cake. And that was very nice of him to do that. We found a way to share the cake with the whole world that is COVID approved. And we did it through the camera. And something about going through that camera and digitizing the cake makes it so there's no calories and you don't get COVID from it. So we appreciate that so much. And had a lot of fun with that. But the parking lot service, I want you to watch a Facebook page or our web page for updates on what's going to happen with the parking lot service. But right now it's 12:30 to 1. We have treats for the kids. Bring the kids along and have a lot of fun with them. You get a chance to at least wave at each other and say hi and see. You got to get out of the house. I mean, there's a point where, you know, hey, I got a couple of days off. And after a while, it's like, you know, it's time to get back to church. I know people are feeling that. And so state of Washington has said the parking lot services are okay, so we're looking forward to that. And if you could do this for us, it kind of gives us an idea how to prepare, because we got to figure where to park and how we're going to park and how we're going to structure this so if someone needs to get out, they can still get out. If you think you might be coming to the parking lot service, could you text me and let me know, 360-721-3551. If you'll text me and let me know, that just if I know I'm going to have two cars or 20 cars, you know, that's a big difference on how much effort we have to make at parking and where we're going to park and how we're going to conduct the service, and that'll help us a lot. And also, as a church, we're beginning to prepare for what opening looks like. When our church opens, it's not going to just open and be like like it always has been forever, which I wish it would be. But in the beginning especially, we're going to be very, very careful. Look, one of the great commandments in the Bible is for us to love each other. And as a church, we want to love our people. We want to protect our people the best we can. and we're going to what I consider extreme measures. What's it called? Christian Law Association, Pastor Dr. David Gibbs, has put out guidelines, and I think they're very well thought out. And there was a day when it'd be so ridiculously extreme, people would laugh about it. But we're a little bit extreme compared to most people. But what I want to know is, if you come to Skyview Baptist Church, you're protected. That we care, that we're going to take care of you. And we'll explain more as time goes on, but we're going to have to assemble a team of people to be able to do several of the things. One, as you come to the front door, we have to have spacing of at least 6 feet apart per family unit. There'll be someone having to take the temperature of each person. They have to ask you all these questions like they do at the airport. Has anybody checked your touched your bags, and have you ever, those kind of questions? And then, as long as you pass that, then you can come in, and then we're going to have to seat you 6 feet apart. It's a lot more complicated when you actually start looking at seating people and figuring out where they can sit and how many people we can hold and things like that. So we're going to have some practice runs with the team that we assemble on how to conduct this the right way. And we'll be calling some of our people and ask them if you can help. If you keep that in mind, if you'll pray about that, we'll be able to do that. And then, I put on here a little note that was kind of fun this morning. You don't know this, Mr. White. Elisha White's at the piano right now. But you made my day when I saw you in sandals. I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I was like, why didn't I think of that? I think I'm gonna preach in my socks just so I can say I did it once. I'll just wear my socks and preach away and not have to wear shoes. I had a lot of fun with that. And so if there's anything you need help with, that we just give you our direct cell numbers. So a cell number to Pastor Myers and a cell number to Pastor White. Pastor Myers' cell number is 360-903-7321. Pastor White's is 360-721-3551. If you need help, please let us know. We'll do what we can to help you. I've been pushing our people to try to be helpful, try to be givers, try to make sure what people are taken care of. And the natural thing to do right now is to grab everything, hold everything, hoard it, make sure you're taken care of. And do take care of your family. You're not to neglect your family. The Bible's very clear about that. But be conscientious to give. Be conscientious to help. Let this be a time you reach out to people. And folks, remember this. If people want to have a conversation with you, you can talk about the Lord. Talking about God doesn't spread COVID-19 any more than talking about the trailblazers or anything else. And if you're going to talk to people, talk to them about the Lord and see how they're doing. There's a lot of people hurting and a lot of people wondering what's going on. Their life is spinning around. They don't know what to think. And a lot of times people are searching for something. They'll be able to find the Lord. So I think that's it for announcements. I don't want to start preaching before it's time to preach. Mr. Roach, you ready to come up and lead us another song? All right, thank you so much. Come on up and lead us in a song.
One more last song. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than worlds.
Thank you so much, Mr. Roach. I sure appreciate that. I love that song. The fun little story behind that song, when I was assistant pastor at Grandview Baptist Church, if you said today, if you said, Pastor White, you're going to preach in front of 10,000 people, and it'll be 10,000 atheists that don't like you, I'd be a little nervous, but it wouldn't be a big, big deal. Preaching in front of people, I don't want to disappoint God, but I'm not that nervous getting in front of people and preaching. But if you were to say, Brother White, Pastor White, you're going to sing in front of people. I mean, in front of 10 people. Oh, man. It's just like an anxiety almost. And so I dealt with that fear many, many years ago. I was in my 20s, and I went to the person who's in charge of song, the music at Grandview Baptist Church when I was an assistant pastor there. And I said, look, I'm trying to face a fear. And so one of these days I got to sing a special. I said, I can't sing. I said, you'd be foolish to book me to sing a special. And you don't really ask the person who's in charge of music if you can sing a special. They kind of ask you if they know you can sing and so on. And I said, but I'm trying to be faithful to God. So if you ever decide to, could you schedule me on some obscure service for a schedule and help, or for a special, and I'll try to sing a special. And so they said, oh yeah, I'm going to schedule you. And I knew the gist I got wasn't because they thought I had a wonderful voice. It was more like, oh yeah, I want to see this train wreck. So they scheduled me, and it was an 8:30 service, and there was, I don't know, 20 people there, and many, many years ago. And that's the song I sing, Mr. Roach, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And I began singing, and I got up in front of, and literally my legs were shaking like Elvis. They just started shaking. And I couldn't breathe, and I was like, I'd rather have Jesus. Just couldn't sing. And then people found out that Brother White sang, and they missed it. They said, we wanted to see it. And I'm like, well, you should have been at the 8:30 service. I ain't never doing it again. I just said, you know, the Lord, I want to face the fear. And that night, Pastor Mutchler, my pastor, he said, you guys missed out. You know, Brother White sang in the morning service. And he said, who thinks we should have him sing tonight? And it was like, yeah, I could hear the crowd, give us Barabbas, you know. And I thought, oh, no, now we got hundreds of people. I can't do this. And he said, you got your music with you? And I went, no. And the other assistant pastor at the time, Brother Chris Vestal, jumped up and handed me a songbook with a song open. And I had to sing it. And, oh, man, that was anxieties. But that is a beautiful, beautiful song. And every time I hear that song, I think about just giving Jesus everything. And I appreciate you doing that, Mr. Roach. In a moment, we're going to take up our offering. And keep in mind, there's a lot of hurting missionaries. If you can help our missionaries, again, we've put a lot of plugs in for it. But they're just stranded. Their income's kind of frozen. And I don't know that there's, and especially our national pastors. And listen, $100, okay. I asked one of the pastors that I worked with down in the Philippines, and lives in a decent sized city. It's not a village that you hear about. It's a city like a smaller city in our area. And I said, how much do you make a month? And he talked about how much he made a month, and it was right between $50 and $75 a month is his salary, American. He said it in pesos. And so understand, if we could just send $100 when they have no income coming in and they have no way, and they're still ministering, people are coming to them for food and coming to them for help, and they're still helping people, and they've got nothing coming in. When you just send $100, that is majorly significant. That's, you know, one third, let's say 1.5 months' wages. Well, if someone sent you a month and a half worth of wages, that's significant, and we can be a help. We want to be a help. If you're willing to be a help, just pray. Ask God what he wants you to do, and if he wants you to be a help, I want you to put it on there. Under notes, put missions. And, Mr. Myers, are we getting money in on those missions? Good, good. And if we get too much money in, we'll help too many people. That'll be a nice problem to have. And so, this time we take our offering, we have a word of prayer. Are you doing special tonight? I'm excited. Thank you so much for doing the piano. Thank you for being flexible. Most of you don't realize how much Mr. White has to flex and how much we ask him to do, and he jumps in and he just does it, and he's a pleasure to work with. Thank you so much. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless the offering tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this offering. Lord, help us to be focused on giving in a time where everybody's focused on surviving. Father, bless those who give. Prosper them in a way that they can even give more. Lord, even if we don't get financial remuneration for giving, we ask that you help us to understand it's worth it for our eternal rewards. Father, help us to express the nature of a giving God. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mr. White, I appreciate that. I appreciate you mixing it up a little bit. Mr. Roach, thanks for coming all the way from Amboy, Washington. Amboy is the one area in America the COVID virus can't find. It's looking for it. But there's not enough human beings there to make it plausible for it to come out there. And has anybody in Amboy been diagnosed with COVID-19? You don't know? You didn't ask both people? And okay. Well, thanks for coming in. I appreciate you so much. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20, the book of Proverbs in chapter 20. And my wife was teasing me the other day. You notice I have kind of a, like this when I'm preaching, I'm kind of doing this number. And she goes, why do you keep doing that? Because during this time where you're sheltered in, there's no way in the world I'm putting on a tie and a suit. I mean, I look half homeless when I relax. I always wear a long sleeve shirt. I usually wear a shirt over top of my long sleeve shirt, or a long sleeve hoodie with a shirt over the top, and jeans, and then lately I've been wearing my fluorescent orange shoes, and if for no other reason, it drives everybody nuts. Well, you can't wear those shoes. What do you mean? These shoes? You know? And so when I put on a suit now, I'm kind of like, and then I said, And so I'll try not to do that during my preaching. But it's kind of funny. I'm not a suit person by nature, even though I've worn them for many years. That's I'm more of a get your hands dirty kind of person. We're looking through Proverbs chapter 20, and we're talking about words to live by. And Proverbs chapter 20, somewhat uniquely, is separated just verse by verse. And for years I thought the book of Proverbs was like that. I learned later as I studied the book of Proverbs and went through the book of Proverbs that most of the verses are interrelated, they are in context. He's not just splatting out one saying after the other. But Proverbs chapter 20 is a little more separated verse by verse. And he just gives you words to live by, words of wisdom that will help you immensely. And so we're studying it verse by verse. We're going through Proverbs chapter 20. And last week we went we almost finished Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. I had a couple of verses left, and we've been posting it online. You can kind of look up the notes. The notes are specifically written for me, so some of the notes won't make as much sense to you if you don't watch the sermon. There's some of the things in there to remind me what to say and how to say it. But as a quick read, well, let's do this. Let's read Proverbs chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. And then we'll do a review on 1 through 3, and then today we're going to learn about verses 4, 5, and 6. Proverbs chapter 20, starting at verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. The counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Let's have a word of prayer and get into the lesson for this evening. Heavenly Father, we ask as we go through your word, Lord, that you'd quicken or bring life to your word and speak to the hearers in a special way. Lord, we're not asking for man to do anything. We're asking for our God to do something special. Lord, it's your Holy Spirit, as we yield to you, that changes us through your word. Let us be yielded people. Let your speaker be yielded. And let your hearers be yielded, that we can have ears to hear what your word has to say and our lives be changed, and that we can be a great light and a witness for you and be more like your son Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we learned this, Proverbs chapter 1, or chapter 20 and verse 1. The Bible starts out and says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You'll find this Old Testament and, hold on a second. Here we go, Old Testament and New Testament, that the opposite of being wise is being drunk. They're opposed one to another. Being drunk is foolish. You are not wise when you are intoxicated. And it says this, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol is opposed to wisdom. And I went through last week, and I'm not going to do it this week, especially since it's on video and you have the notes. But you find that throughout the Bible, the use of alcohol was always, hey, you don't drink and to feel better. You don't use it as a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And I think there is a medication use to drugs. I don't think drugs in and of themselves are sinful. I think used as medication, drugs are a gift from God. I know when I go in for surgery, I want them to give me drugs. And I want the good drugs. If someone says, do you want something natural? I don't care. I want to go to La La Land and I don't want to feel the pain. But we often have become social drinkers, and the Bible's very clear about that. Social drinking or social drug use for a euphoric feeling is a substitute for the power of God or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And God always says it's unwise, it's foolish, it's mockery, it's sin. And so we learned that last week, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. And then in verse 2, the Bible says, the fear of the king is as the roaring of a lion. Whosoever provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. And there's a simple truth here. Don't pick fights with the government. You know, you people every once in a while, you hear about these people say, well, you know, federal income tax is a temporary tax. If you study it, federal income tax, from what I've heard, and of course I read it on the internet, And I remember the famous quote of Abraham Lincoln that said, you can't believe everything that's written on the internet. And so I read it on the but it said that the federal income tax was a temporary tax. So people say, because of that, I'm going to stand for my rights, and I'm going to fight the government, and I'm not going to pay federal income tax. Well, just a dumb question for you. So if you had the right to pay more taxes, do you stand for that right? If you had the right to help your country even more by giving them extra money, are you going to fight for that right and give more money to the government? Just a thought. I mean, if it's just a matter of right and wrong and not about your greed. But anyways, on the side note, and you find they pick fights with the governments that they don't need to fight. You don't need to pick that fight. Someone said, and it's so funny, I mentioned before I teach a business class, and often I talk to people about business. Here's one of the foolish things we say. Well, I don't want to make too much money because then my taxes get higher. Wait a minute. Taxes are a percentage of what you make. Now, there is a fine line where you cross a certain line, and for a little time, you actually lose money by making a little more money. But as a rule, tax. If someone says, well, they tax the rich at 50%, well, I would like to have 50% of what Bill Gates owns. I wouldn't even complain compared to what you own. I mean, we say crazy things sometimes, but the idea is this. Don't pick needless battles. Don't fight the government. Don't make the king mad when you don't have to. And we talked about Romans 13 and some things that talk about the law and how to work. And the thing I wanted to emphasize in Titus 2:1-3, it talks to about praying for our leaders. And understanding this in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the next chapter, says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Can I say this to the Christians who are listening right now? If you're listening and you're a Christian and you're in the state of Washington, and you have an opinion about something Governor Inslee's doing, you don't have a right to complain until you've prayed. Get on your knees and pray and ask God to change his heart. I'll tell you this, and I don't talk about politics. I'm only saying this for this reason, for this illustration. Last presidential race, I wasn't a fan of either one. I wasn't a fan of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I didn't feel like either one stood for moral values. I didn't feel like either one was really truly conservative. I didn't feel like Christianity would be represented well by either one. I made my vote for who I thought was the lesser of the two evils. That's how I voted. But I prayed for my president. Donald Trump never came up and said, I'm the most moral man in America. In fact, I even said from the pulpit, I said, this is hilarious. What's going on? The media has spent 6 months while President Trump was doing negotiations over nuclear arms and things like that around the world, the media spent 6 months or more trying to prove that there was a time when Donald Trump was immoral. Was there anybody in America that doesn't know that Donald Trump was immoral? He lived immoral. He bragged about it in his younger years. And they spent all this time just trying to prove that he was immoral. Now, having said that, I found out through many sources, he's got an immense amount of people who are close to him, who are godly, who pray for him. I don't know where he is religiously. I could not tell you. I've heard a lot of things from a lot of different people. I really have no clue. But I believe the people who pray for him have affected him immensely. And have influenced our policies. Don't just be the typical American who sits at the ball game and yells at the ref. It's hard being a ref. Or yells at the coach. Everybody in America knew that Seattle shouldn't have thrown that pass. They should have ran it into the end zone. Because you're not the coach. Everybody sits there. They're all experts. No one's paying you $1 million to coach a team. But the Bible says you can influence policy by asking God to work on the hearts of political leaders. And it's our job as Christians to do that. We should love our political leaders, love the ones, no matter what their political persuasion is, and ask God to change their hearts and to help them to have the right political policies. So the fear of the king is as a roaring of a lion. Whosoever provoketh him to wrath, to anger, sinneth against his own soul. And then the last thing we talked about in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And we looked at who brings strife, and I went through it pretty quickly. This says in Proverbs 22:10, the notes are in there. I'll let you look up the verses. But it says, a scorner, a perverse man, a talebearer, the proud in heart, quickly angered, a meddling person, and one who loves sin. Those kind of people are the people the Bible says brings strife. And this is what to do with those who bring strife. One was get out of their way. it's when you look at the meaning of the word as one that letteth out water, the beginning of strife is as one that letteth out water. That word letteth out water is referring to someone using the facilities. It says if someone's doing that, get out of the way. And it's pretty straightforward. You get out of the way. If someone wants to have strife, get away from them. Get away from them. It says not to friend an angry person, a person who brings strife. Just cast them out or they'll cause more strife. Not to do business with people who cause strife. Don't let them in your home. Don't let strife in your home. Fight it. Get it out of your home. People who cause strife will destroy your home. And if there's any way to avoid it, get strife out of your home. And we learned about strife and then what strife brings and how to get away from that. There's notes again of all that on our website. Did look on skyviewbaptist.com and then you look under sermons. Is that right, Mr. Myers? You look under sermons and you'll find those. And then today we're at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. And there's some interesting things about this concept. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Now, sluggard, the word sluggard and the word slothful are akin. We would use the terms lazy, but they're all just a little bit different. Do you understand? The word slothful means one who does not attend to his business. So when you say, I've had parents do this to me before. They say, my teenager's lazy. I'm like, well, your teenager's a basketball star. Yes, but he won't clean his room and he won't do his homework and I can't get him to take out the trash. He's lazy. I said, lazy is not the right word. You don't become a basketball star unless you work really, really hard. He's slothful. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. My teenager's lazy. He sits around all day and plays video games. That's actually, you can do that for a living. Every teenager these days seems to want to be the one person who's the video game beta tester. And you could actually make a living playing video games. Or you can join the military and fly drones. And they actually look for people who have video game experience for some of these drones things, flying drones and things. So it is work. People sit in front of a computer all day work. And they'll work till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning playing video games. It's not that they're lazy. It's a word slothful. And sluggard is a word. That is a person who tries very hard not to work. They actually work not to work. And so we're learning about a sluggard. Let's learn a few things what the Bible says about a sluggard. It says the sluggard will not plow by reason of cold. So we learn this. A sluggard lets his circumstances stop him. A sluggard lets his circumstances stop him. You ever notice, it was a great, great story. I remember Pastor Mushler, my pastor, was going soul winning, and he came across somebody. And they said, I'd like you to invite you to church. He said, well, I won't be there Sunday. I said, okay. He said, you know why? And the pastor said, well, no, I don't know why. He didn't really ask why, but he said, no, I don't know why. He said, peanut butter. The pastor kind of looked at him and said, what does that mean? Well, I figured that's as good as any other excuse you've heard from everybody else for not showing up for church. So I figured I'd just say peanut butter. And he laughed. He said, that's true. It's just, might as well just say peanut butter. Everybody's got an excuse why not to come to church. And the sluggard looks for excuses not to do their work. So it says this, the sluggard lets his circumstances stop him. God says in the day of judgment, he will bring people before you that had circumstances that were as hard or harder than yours, who did what God wanted them to do, and they'll testify against you. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, would you? Matthew chapter 12. This is something I really want you to read. It's very important to see this. Matthew chapter 12. While you do that, I'm going to get a drink of water. Thank you, Danny, for getting this for me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 42. Chapter 12, verses 39 through 42. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answering said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Verse 41, very interesting. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against this generation, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at verse 42. A greater than Solomon. Here's what he said. He says, you know, there will be people who went through circumstances that you went through, yet they served God. Well, it's really hard. I can't because of this and this. And they'll stand. They'll bring them before. When you say, God, the reason I couldn't do what you told me to do is this. God will bring them before you, and they'll rise up in judgment against you. And he'll say, here's so-and-so, and here's what they went through. I tell a story often. There was a man named Art Hauser. Art is in heaven. And, in fact, I'm going to be online, so I'll get in trouble for this. But if you're mad at me, you have to get in line. I get in trouble for everything. I loved, I guess I should say, Brother Art Hauser. And when you'd meet him, he'd always go, Oh, God bless you. I've been praying for you. Brother Roman, how are you? And he'd hit you. And he'd wear this a light baby blue polyester suit. He wore the same suit all the time. In fact, one time I visited Christmas Valley, Oregon, and that's way out in the middle of nowhere. I found a church there my wife and I could go to, so we went to the church where we were visiting. I found out a family was from Molalla, Oregon, which is where Art Hauser's from. And I said, just by chance, you're from Molalla, Oregon. I said, you don't know Art Hauser, do you? And she goes, oh, I know Art Hauser. And they happened to know him. I was in the middle of nowhere. The fact that we knew the same person, it was really fun. And then she kind of looked both ways and said, can I ask you a question? An older lady. I said, sure. She says, is he still wearing that same light blue leisure suit from the 1970s? And I was like, yes, he is. And Art Hauser would stand in front of the bus, and he had sold some property, and a lot of people don't know he was very well-to-do. You'd never know it. He didn't buy new vehicles and things like that. He was a giver. He wanted to be a giver in his life. And him and his wife, Arlene, would stand in front of the church, and when the buses would unload and those bus kids would get off, he'd stand and greet every one of them. Oh, so good to see you. Oh, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're a nice young man. Oh, and he'd greet every single one of them. And he was always smiling, always happy, always doing what God wanted him to do. One day I was in the men's restroom, and he didn't see me. He came in, he didn't see me, and he walked in the restroom, thought he was alone. As soon as he got in the restroom, I heard him. This is in he's in his late 70s. And, I said, hey, Art.
Oh, Brother White, how are you today? God bless you.
And he was serving God, loving people, reaching down to the people that other people, everybody wants to greet the door and meet the adult visitors coming in. He's greeting these bus kids and loving on them, being kind to people. He brought everybody he could over to his house to eat. He chewed out every married couple who ever went there and said, you treat each other right, Art, when he was, I think he was 5 years old, if I remember the story, 5, 6 years old, somewhere around there, his dad was and mom were fighting. He remembers seeing his dad leave the room, watch his dad walk back into the room with the gun, and hear the bang, and he shot his mom. A moment later, he heard bang. He went into the room, and his dad shot himself in the head. He was alone with his dead parents at 5 or 6 years old. And they finally took him. And this wasn't in the day when you got social help and mental help and all those kind of things. And the only relative that would take him was an uncle, and the uncle only wanted him so he'd have someone to work on the dairy farm. Basically, he was slave labor. And he was forced to do extremely hard work for a 5, 6-year-old, and his uncle would beat him if he didn't do the work and threaten if he ever left, he'd kill him. And as a very young man, He got up the guts to escape the farm and run away, hoping he didn't get shot in the process. He escaped the farm. He got away and ran away, lived on his own. At the age of 21, I believe it was, he received Christ as a Savior and committed his life to serving God and went through so many trials. And every day you met Art, he was extremely happy and he was extremely encouraging. He was extremely helpful and he was so giving. You didn't dare tell Art you had a need. He would try to meet it. Now, one day you're going to tell God, Lord, I had a tough life. My dad used to call me bad names. And people were mean to me. And that's why I was bitter and I couldn't serve you. And God will say, wait right here for a second. Art Hauser, come here. And Art will come and say, oh, praise the Lord. He'll walk up and he'll say, let me tell you Art Hauser's story. And Art Hauser went through more than you did. And yet he served me faithfully and lovingly and was kind to so many people his whole life. Art Hauser will rise up against you because you're making excuses for why you don't serve God. You're not going to stand in front of God and say, you don't understand, I was raised in the hood. I was raised in the ghetto. I had a tough time. God will bring people up and they will rise up against you. And God will say, thou wicked and slothful servant, you should have done what I told you to do and not made excuses. A sluggard lets circumstances stop him from doing what God said not to do. And the Bible says God hates it when you use circumstances as an excuse not to do what God wants you to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God says, if I told you to do it, you can do it. God uses adverse circumstances sometimes to show his greatness. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul went on to say, most gladly, therefore, while I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus came to his disciples, and he said this, don't send the people away, you feed them. There's 5,000 people. It says 5,000 men. That doesn't include women and children. 5,000 men. And they said, don't send them away that they can go into the city and get food. You feed them. That's impossible. It's impossible. No, yeah, but he gave you that command so you would run to God and say, Lord, all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Ah, I was waiting for you to come to me. That was the intent of giving you something that was extremely hard to do. I didn't want your excuses. I wanted you to attempt to do what I told you to do and bring it to me and ask me for help. And then, of course, you know the story with that. He feeds the 5,000. The sluggard has excuses. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. Can I say this? Well, I'm not going to ask permission. I'm going to say it. How's this? The sluggard has excuses. So for years, this has happened. People come and they say, Pastor, I need some money. I can't find a job. And I'll say, well, you know what? That's a coincidence. I know someone who has a construction business, and they need somebody right now. They'll hire you. Oh, I can't do construction. I can't stand up that long. Well, that's okay, because I happen to know some people in the telemarketing business, and you can sit all day and just talk on the phone. You just sit there. Oh, I can't sit down. I can't sit down because if I sit too long, it hurts me. Well, you know, I found out that the OHSU, Oregon Health Science University, is doing sleep studies right now, and literally you can get paid to sleep and lay in bed. Oh, I can't lay down. I can't lay down. That hurts me. What do you do if you can't stand up, sit down, or lay down? What position are you in all day? What is happening here? You've got an excuse. And if I took 7 men and they came up to help you, and they tried to help you to find the job, you will have an excuse for every single one of them. And I learned something in the book of Proverbs that really helped. The Bible says, in all labor there is profit. Oh. So I say this, and I give the simple task. And by the way, to this day I have yet to have anybody do it. And that says something very, very, very profound. I say, here's what you do. You want a 40-hour a week job, right? Well, I think I can only work 20 hours a week. Okay, you want a 20-hour a week job, right? Yes, yes, I want a 20 hours a week job. And you've been looking, right? Oh, yeah, I put in an application. I've been waiting for 6 months for them to call me back. I'm trying to get a job. Okay, here's what you do. Labor for 20 hours a week. Take a broom and sweep every driveway. If you have an apartment complex, sweep the entire apartment complex. Sweep the whole entire parking lot. Sweep every driveway in the neighborhood. Sweep the sidewalk. Sweep the streets clean, as long as you don't illegally stand in the streets or get yourself hit by a car. And work 20 hours a week for labor, because in all labor there is some profit. One, you'll be used to getting up. You'll be used to working. It'll be easier to work. You won't get used to not working. One of the scary things about right now with everybody stopping working is it's really hard to start up again. It's really hard to start getting back in that routine that you were in. And I said, so work your 20 hours or work your 40 hours a week. And then as time goes on, say, you know, I think I'd rather make a little more money for this, and knock on a door and say, do you need anything done? Can I sweep your porch or can I wash your windows? By the way, I know people who make a complete good living washing windows. There's good money in washing windows. And then the people say, okay, you can wash my windows, you can do odd jobs, and you say, well, I'm making this much an hour, I'd rather make a little more per hour. And you'll find that if you start the process of working, that you'll be able to get a job. You'll get a job, and you'll just keep getting more and more. So I say, so here's what I'm going to tell you: start working. I'll get back to you on that. And this, I've learned this many years ago now. They never get back to me. One day it'll happen. I'll find someone who will start sweeping. And when they start sweeping, they'll say, you know, I'd rather make some money. And you can sweep and you can start cleaning. And you can clean. You start cleaning and sweeping boats. And the people, you start knocking on doors and doing maid service and start cleaning and sweeping. Right now, you get a bottle of bleach water and some rags and a mask and say, hey, I'll disinfect your home. I bet you there's some business you could have. But if they start doing it, they're going to find that they can do it. But a sluggard will have more excuses than seven men standing around them can give them answers for. If you're listening today and you're giving a bunch of excuses, you're a sluggard. But you don't understand! Get louder and get angry. So I'll back away. That'll make you a non-sluggard, right? You don't like to hear that. Find what you can do. Now, just a little caveat. I'm not talking about someone who's paraplegic and can't move. Do what you can do, but there is obviously limited. I'm talking about someone who has excuses for everything whenever you try to help them to go forward. The sluggard has excuses. And you'll find what God thinks about excuses. Turn to Luke chapter 14 and verse 6. Luke 14, 6. I'm trying to think what time I'm supposed to be done. My wife's not in here. Mr. Myers, what time am I supposed to be done? Can you help me? Huh? About 6. Okay, I got 2.5 minutes for you to get right with God, you sluggards! So we're going to finish up. We'll finish off on the sluggards. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And the other said unto him, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. You see this, that the master was angry. The master represented God. The servants were the people God was bidding to come to him. And they all had excuses. You know what the excuses? I have bought some property and need to go see it. What kind of idiot buys property and hasn't seen it yet? I mean, it says, I bought a property, a piece of ground, I must needs go see it. The other one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I need to go test them out right now. I can't come. And the last one, I just love this. It's just such a funny, funny verse to me. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And every married man went, oh, okay. This is the funniest one to me. I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And they all began to make excuses, and said it made the master angry. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 24. Proverbs 19 and 24. I'm going to take two or three extra minutes here. Proverbs 19 and verse 24. A sluggard will exaggerate his problems so he can justify being lazy. This is a very, very interesting verse, Proverbs 19:24. The Bible says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, it's very interesting. So it's an injury you have. I got my hand right here. I can't use my hand. It's just not working. You need to feed me. Please, Matthew, feed me. Please, someone help me. I can't feed myself. Now, it says, a slothful man hideth, literally covers or keeps in secret, or literally hides your hand in your shirt to look handicapped. That's what it means. His hand in his bosom, pretends to be handicapped, and even lives the part in hopes not to have to work. And will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. I can't feed me. I can't feed me. It was an old joke. Jesus came by and he healed somebody who was blind, and then he came by and healed another guy who was lame, and then there was a man there with his hand in his bosom, and Jesus came by and he said, are you lame? Oh, wait, stop! No! I'm on disability. Leave me alone. and they want to be healed. And by the way, I'm not mocking people on disability, but I am mocking people who are living injured or living as if they're handicapped, and they're not. And they're not. If you dare take your hand from your mouth, from your bosom, and feed yourself, people will know you're not handicapped. So you'll lay there and be like, help me! Help me! Someone help me! And you'll do anything you can. You will fight to not be healed. I've watched it before where people who they say, well, I can't afford to feed my family. Well, here's how you can feed your family. You just don't understand. You just don't understand. I can't do it. Leave me alone. And they don't want the answers. The Bible calls it slothful. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness, not to attend work, casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. So when you don't work, when you sleep in late, you get more tired. When you sleep in late, you end up having to take a nap before bedtime. And sleeping, too much sleep makes you tired. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And the Bible says the answer for the slothful in Proverbs 6:6, I'm skipping several things. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There's a couple more things the Bible says. I think I'm going to end it here. You can look in the notes, and Brother Myers has those notes, and he'll post those on our skyviewbaptist.com. But let me ask you, here's what's important, okay? I have been slothful. I have been a sluggard. That's why I understand it. I haven't been completely slothful or completely sluggardish, but I have definitely exhibited those tendencies. I have the flesh like you have the flesh. And once in a while, I'll go, Roman, stop being lazy. Get up and get some work done. It's hard being a dad sometimes and not be, you know, can you take the camera over here on the chair here? Okay. Here's a dad thing. Danny! 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 And then Danny finally comes. Come here! Come here. Come here, Danny. Where are you? How come you didn't answer me? This is my son, Danny. If you ever don't answer me again, you're in trouble. You understand me? Give me that water, would you? No. Get me the other one that has water in it. Rotten kid. All right, thank you. What are you doing? You can go play now. I'm that dad. I used to think I'd never be that dad. The one that had water 10 feet away and calls us clear across the house and tells Dan in the water. He's laughing because there's times I'm like, Danny! Forget it. Roman White, you are a sluggard. Get up and get your water. Think about this. Parents, I'm picking on you just a little bit. I are one, a parent, that is. Think about this. My kids just won't clean their room. What does my room look like? Thanks for the water, Danny. There's times I go, you know what? I want to clean my room and show my kids how it's done. I can be a sluggard. And that's just the beginnings. A true sluggard is one who continually does this. But I have sluggard days. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because today, if you're listening and you're dealing with being a sluggard, I don't hate you, and I'm not just trying to condemn you, and I'm not just mocking you because you won't go get work. I'm telling you, just start saying, Lord, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. When I'm supposed to do it. You know why most of us don't pray? We're sluggards. Is there a Christian that doesn't know God wants you to pray? Well, yeah, but I'm really busy. Yeah, so is the kid that didn't clean his room and played basketball. You're a sluggard. You're not doing what God told you to do. Why don't you say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to confess something to you today. I've been a sluggard. I haven't prayed. I haven't read my Bible. I haven't studied the Word of God. The last several years I've been convicted over that. I haven't studied as much as I should be as a pastor. At 50, I expected myself to know a whole lot more than I know now. I said, God, I've been a sluggard. I haven't been completely lazy, but in some areas of my life, I've been a sluggard. God, forgive me. Help me not to be a sluggard. Help me to work for you. So we can have fun, and you can think of that person that you know that is super lazy, and the person who's extreme, and they're on some kind of a reality show, and they won't even feed themselves, and they cry. But that wasn't preached to them. This is preached to you. Maybe it's time to stop being a sluggard. Even if it's a little bit, it's time to let that go. Why don't you say today, God, I admit I've been a sluggard. And God, I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to be diligent about doing the work that you have me to do. In a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and I'm going to invite you just to take some time with God alone and confess to God that you haven't been doing the things he's designed for you to do and that you want help. Ask him to forgive you. Repent. Change your mind. I'm going to stop being a sluggard. The COVID-19 thing has given a lot of people an excuse just to lay around all day. You know how many of our young people I call up in our bed at 11 o'clock in the morning? I mean, don't get me wrong. I've laid in bed till 11 o'clock in the morning. But I don't want to live like that. I don't want to face God as a sluggard. I don't want to give God excuses. Let's say, you know what, Lord? I've been a sluggard. I'm sorry. I'm going to do the work that you designed me to do. And I'm going to work hard, be diligent about doing it. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll have a quick invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have patience for us. Lord, that if we're a sluggard today, we can change that. We can just say, you know what, I'm going to be diligent. Lord, a true sluggard will fight it tooth and nail and use excuses and never, never, never admit that they're a sluggard. Some of the hardest workers you ever met, when you talk to them, they say, yeah, I know I did good, but I was a sluggard. I could have done better. The good workers admit that they have a sluggard side, a slothful side. And then they ask for your forgiveness, they address it, and they fight it. I know some of our young people, and our older ones too, but some of our young people especially right now, Lord, they just need to get up in the morning and walk with you like they're supposed to. And tonight, would you let them make a decision? I am going to get up and do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. I'll be diligent and not a sluggard. Father, bless us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the piano plays, I'm going to give you a moment. Will you come to God and talk to Him about the areas where you've been a sluggard? Would you ask God to reveal to you where you can be more diligent? Most of all, would you take your excuses tonight, bundle them up in your mind, come to an altar in your heart, and I want you to lay those excuses at the feet of God, at the throne of God, and say, God, I'm not making excuses anymore. If you tell me to do something, I will do what you tell me to do. I am done being a sluggard. I am done being slothful. Tonight, will you say, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for the times I was a sluggard. I'm going to do what I have to do to be diligent. I'm going to repent or change my mind about being a sluggard and give myself to serving you. I'd recommend where to start. Why don't you start with praying in the morning? Stop shirking your duty as a Christian. Get up and pray. Heavenly Father, each one of us has a side to us that's lazy, that's drawing us away from doing the tasks that we're supposed to be doing. And Lord, it's easy just to stop fighting and to give in to that. Lord, would you help us tonight to repent of that? Would you help us to face you and say, God, I lay my sluggardness, my slothfulness before you. I'm not giving you excuses anymore. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be diligent about it. I'll do it when you want me to do it. I'll face you not as a lazy person, but one who hears his Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll come to you and I'll say, Lord, I have fought the fight. I have run the race that you set before me. I have not been a sluggard. Father, bless those who made that decision today. Strengthen them. Reveal to them what's holding them down and give them strength to overcome that. Put your power upon them. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I want to thank you for joining us at Skyview Baptist Church. Oh, Scott Berger. Good to see Scott Berger. I mean, he's been here for many years. And then he moved up to Marysville, Washington. And I want to thank you for being here tonight. I want you to know we love you. Skyview Baptist Church people, I miss you like I just can't explain. I'm trying to be good, trying not to make some of our people sick who could get sick. But I just want you to know you're very, very special. As I hear people talk, we cannot wait for church to be open again. And we are looking for the next step this Sunday. Be there, 12:30 p.m. to 1 o'clock p.m., one half hour. It's not the answer to everything, but it's the next step. I want to encourage you to be there. I want everybody to see each other's faces, wave at everybody, say hello, call each other on the phone. Don't talk during the preaching, but there's only going to be about 20 minutes long during the preaching. And for this one Sunday, just this one Sunday, okay, in your cars, I'm going to make a declaration. You can wear sandals like Mr. White did. You can wear sandals in the car like Mr. White did. And come to church in sandals. Or Gary Byers, you can bring your dog to church. If you're going to be here. Is he going to be here Sunday? He's going to be here Sunday, yeah. You can bring your dog to church. And I know he gave us a verse earlier that says, you know, that God calls no animal unclean. But the Bible does say, and without our dogs. So I don't know. We have to see if Gideon, his dog, actually gets saved. Anyways, thank you for joining us tonight. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll ask God to bless, and then we'll be dismissed for this evening. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, would you put your hand upon us as a people? Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to be a great witness and a light for you. And show us what you want us to do in this odd time. We're all kind of disheveled and either working extra or not working. And things have changed so much for us. Help us to settle in to what you want us to do. Help us to be a great witness and a testimony for you. Help the folks who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for their sins, and if they'll trust what Jesus Christ did as their payment for heaven, that they can go to heaven for all of eternity. Show your love in a special way. Help many, many folks get saved and live the life that you've designed for them. Father, bless like only you can. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We are dismissed. Thank you. Andy, you getting the stuff distributed?